Hello, everybody, and welcome to our new podcast of Urban Art Kids in 2021. My name is Astrid Bassler, and I'm the founder of Urban Art Kids. I know it's been a while since our last podcast has been published, but I'm very happy to present you today a new program that we're working on. In December, we started an artist-in-residence program here at the gallery. My first guest has been Helena Hernandez. She's a Mexican artist which has been part of the Urban Art Kids team for more than a year. I will talk with Helena about her project connected with children, how she felt like a tourist here in Charlottenburg, and her love and hate relationship with Neukölln and Mexico City. So please join us today on this podcast edition. Hey, so I'm very happy to have Helena Hernandez with us today with the Urban Art Kids podcast. Helena, hi, thank you for joining us today on this program.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you for giving me the space also to talk about the residency.
Yes,
in your space.
Yes, we had Helena Hernandez with us on our first artisan residence program that we started as a test trial in December, and I definitely want to hear what was your motivation to think about doing an artisan residence program with us.
Well, I think it developed because I already knew the space, and I have a very close relationship with the space anyway. I think I wanted to do something related with kids and children in general because of my topic of the residency, and of course, changing spaces beyond my own ideas, I think it was a good way to go. So yeah, I think it was different elements that inspired me and wanted me to go forwards with this. So I would say change of space was one of them. Yeah.
That's obviously basically because that if you work and live in the same place, it's different than going to some other place where you get another kind of input for sure. So, and especially in those times when we're in the pandemic situation, it's also very nice to go to another place and work from there. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I do have a studio, but the work I do in my studio is very different, and I find that the space in Urban Art Kids has a very is very inspirational in the way I want it to be. Like, you have books, you have topics. You also in the time I was doing the residency, I was also in touch with the kids. So it's a very it was very important for me to do it in that space.
Okay. And could you tell us a little bit about your project that you've been developing throughout the residency?
Well, it started with a series of drawings about my childhood. So what I actually did was first I did the sketching of the project, and I was thinking, okay, which is the discipline that I'm working on nowadays, and I started doing some watercolor illustrations. But what I was doing at the moment was like kind of my new research discipline was stitching, embroidery.
Okay.
So, yeah, there was a very interesting to me to actually do this with illustration, because normally what I do is it's more an abstract approach to stitching or embroidery, and this was more figurative. So my sketches turned into embroidery, and they changed as well. So it was like translation between different disciplines. And at the end, I had several stitching or embroidery pieces that gave me, yeah, like a kind of hint in which direction I wanted to go. So it's been a kind of work in progress, but I think what I did it in the space was very close to my heart in some way.
And why did you choose in the first place stitching? What's your relation to that technique?
Why I was doing that? Well, I think it's always been related to my mother and my grandmother, because they did that the whole, I mean, my grandmother, until she died, she stitched. That was her thing, her hobby. And my mother kind of taught me how to, but I don't know if I'm a good embroidery artist, but I try to combine drawing and embroidery. So it's a very different approach, because my grandmother only kind of went with a already done motifs. It was not that she invented new things. So she copied the drawings that they were already there. And my mother, in a way, that she did this way. So it was more like a hobby for them. And I said, okay, that's very nice, but I want to do it in my way. So I combined my own drawings with this. And I think I'm still learning, of course. But I wanted something that was more material and related also to my childhood because of that, because of my family, because of my memories. So I combined both. Yeah.
And talking about your childhood, because you said when you were here at the residency, you were also thinking about your childhood. Was there any story in particular you were thinking in when you're stitching your projects?
Yeah, well, each piece, I mean, there now is very abstract to talk about these pieces, because maybe one need to see them actually in real life or in photos. But yes, they're like combination between a girl, in this case it's me, and different animals. And one in particular was a fish. There's a girl with a fish head and she's swimming. So I lived it's four years since I was in primary school. For 4 years I lived near the sea, so I was going to the sea very often, and I think I wanted to grasp into idea of what is to feel like a kid again once, and because of the pandemic maybe to feel more in contact with my family and where I was, being happy in a way. So all these memories turn into pieces, and I think it's a vast collection of these memories, and I wanted them to stay there, so to say. It's like a picture, but I find it in embroidery, you kind of feel the materials as well. So I wanted that to be in material, so to say.
We definitely will have, hopefully soon, a chance to show those pieces as well to a larger audience. So it's all depending on how regulations are going, but definitely we planned about everybody who's going through the program, that they will also have the opportunity afterwards to show their projects. So we haven't had a chance right away after you finished your project with us due to the actual situation. And we didn't just want to do it online. We also wanted to really show it to the people that they come and see it. So yeah, we definitely plan on doing that, hopefully in spring this year when things are getting better. But I want to step back now a little bit into the situation. Like, you have been here in Charlottenburg at our space. You usually work in Neukölln. So how did you find the neighborhood? How did you experience that?
I think the first thing I experienced, of course, like from Neukölln to Charlottenburg is I think on public transport it's about 40 minutes, sometimes 50, depending on the time schedules and the transport. That's first. The first thing is like the time. And yes. During that time, I was planning like beforehand what to do in the space. So it kind of gave me the chance of analyzing my own work and what the things I would do in the space. So that first hour, I was already thinking about that. And then, of course, arriving to the space, the shops were still open at that time. So I could also go into the shops I really like, because in Charlottenburg you have a street full of shops where you can get materials. So for me, that was important. You have a shop which has a very vast variety of yarn and needles and everything for embroidery. So that was also a very strong element in my work. So I could find these things there, and I can't really find them in Neukölln. So I could see the materials. That was one of the things. And the other thing, maybe in general, the vibe is also different. The kind of touristic approach, maybe. I mean, it's not touristic, the space, but I feel as a tourist in a way. So I could see with new eyes. Yeah, no, it's true. It's my city, and I've been here in Berlin for a long time. But it's a different world. So
yeah, no, it's every in Berlin, you say the keys, they're totally different. And yeah. I think Neukölln also changed since you arrived there. And now for the last 2 years, it also has changed. Also Charlottenburg, it's always developing, but it's like a total different world. So explaining about a little bit, how would you describe Neukölln versus Charlottenburg?
I would say, like, I really like my kids or my neighborhood, but it can be very rough. Where I live, you see things in a very crude way sometimes, or very direct, or people can talk to you or say to you things that you wouldn't want to in your life in general. And but it also has a very positive, I would say, I have also like this relationship with Neukölln where I say it's a love-hate relationship, very similar to Mexico City, because I lived in Mexico City for many, many years. So this roughness that has, I take it into my work as well. So I turn it I channelize the vibe of the place into my work, but it's not always pleasant, I would say. So yeah, it has this up and downs. I mean, sometimes you say, "Oh, this is the best place," or sometimes you say, "Oh, why do I live here?" So yeah,
yeah, but that's also why people come to Berlin, because they find something of their own.
It's very interesting.
It's international, and people see what, they find this international spirit, because it's not everywhere you have hear different languages in the streets. You know, you go out and you don't hear all the time German. It's that also makes it special. And then you find yourself the right keys for you to live in. You know, I come more from a very, very conservative background. I'm from Munich. So obviously Charlottenburg, it's comparable with Munich. It's really conservative, but it's also changing. You know, we have the Kantstraße with all those great Asian food shops, and Wilmersdorfer Straße is now changing. It's not the shopping street as well, not turning out to be the best, but you get your stuff. That's what you say. You have some stores where you can get supplies. That's really great compared to probably other areas of the city. So
Maybe that's why I wanted to do this project there, because of course I have my inspiration in my neighborhood, but it's a different inspiration. So going there and doing this project related with kids, because also where the gallery is, where the Urban Art Kit is a very it's very full with kids. So that was part of my project, relating with my childhood, with kids, with this, it's a different world. And I wanted that. So maybe this comparison can also be said, like, okay, is there space for that?
That's for sure. Well, yes, to say probably a lot of people haven't been to our space, but right in front of the gallery, we have a street which is without any cars, and it's like a playground place. So there are a lot of kids all day around there, depending, obviously, later on, it's also the school kids there. And they're playing there, playing soccer, they're having fun, and it's really beautiful that we had that chance to be right in front of that space. So, to be, urban art, really, with the urban kids there, and it's different kind of kids also there. So, I could imagine that this is really also a nice, tempting to say, okay, I want to do such kind of program in residence, because obviously with Urban Art Kids, we try that the artists are coming for, working about themes for or with kids, you know, thinking about that background. So talking about that, what kind of artist would you recommend to participate in this program?
Well, I would say the space is suitable for artists working maybe an illustration, drawing. I mean, I did stitching. So maybe this kind of works with this kind of profile. I think also the space has this aura. It's all around it, and it would work maybe with the small sculptures, maybe like in an illustrative topic or something. It has. It's a big room, and one can say, okay, let's do something big. But I would say also the space has. It's a very specific ground to do drawing and maybe painting, I would say, but illustration is a key, I would say. I mean, I try to do some other works in other spaces where you have also the facilities in sculpture or installation, but I would say in this direction, illustration is the best way to go. What would you say?
No, I would say in general, illustration, I think the relation for kids is the easiest way, the entrance way also for us, what we experience for kids to understand art is they see first book illustrations, you know, from children's books. So this is where it usually comes from. And I would also say we also work with a lot of illustrators. So I think it's a great way, obviously, to get in touch with kids and to express experiences of childhood or to transmit them anything you want to tell them. So,
I was thinking, because I did this workshop with the cookies. Can explain that we did a drawing decorating workshop with cookies, and I give this workshop there in the space and with kids. So that can also be like maybe interesting. And I don't know. I would say why not? Like if you can maybe mix certain disciplines, it can also work. I mean, this is not like a complete limited space for illustration, but maybe combining things.
Yes, yeah. Other techniques.
Other techniques, other disciplines, other, yeah. that would be maybe something that I would be also recommending.
Yeah.
I know chefs, I know maybe people working in biology, maybe they want to do something. I don't know.
Well, we obviously will try to leave it quite open, the program, so everybody's welcome to step up to us and we can discuss about opportunities. So we are thinking about continuing this. Obviously, now in January, we stopped a little bit the program, but in spring, we will start it again. So everybody who's interested, we will put on some information on the website of Urban Art Kit, so you can apply for it and check out. Also, we will show a little bit of your experience that you had with the space. It was really great to have you here, and we are happy that Helena is also part of our art teachers team. So she's giving online classes right now with Urban Art Kids, so that's very nice. So what are your upcoming projects for 2021? I know we are already started the year, but what's your plan?
Now I started my year very active and trying to write what I want to do for this year. But of course, there can be also changes in this plan, because we don't know what's going to happen, or the next months, we don't know if the pandemic is going to be for longer or not. We don't know. So I'm trying to be flexible with that. But I'm starting several online projects. So I'm part of the Werkstatt Kulturverein. That's in Neukölln. Right. And we are starting to do a curating program online. So this is some of the things that I'm interested in also in curating. We're trying to do online things. But a personal project that I really am very excited to do is I'm trying to stitch every day. So I'm trying to challenge myself to do it's a small piece every day. My goal is to do the whole year. I'm not sure if I'm gonna.
That's very brave.
I'm trying to do it. Until now, it's been going well. But of course, it's January. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna last. But I hope for this to be there at the end of the year and say, okay, I did it. So that's one of my personal projects. Yeah.
And where did you get the inspiration from to do this project? Do you have a subject every month, or you just start stitching?
I really like the everyday challenge, and I've been also I tried to do it with drawing, but with drawing it didn't work. Maybe also because of materials, because I get bored. So drawing maybe was not the discipline to make me go for it. And with yarn and needles, and it's a very 3D thing, and it's very with lots of textures and colors. So maybe it's because of that that I'm hooked, and it's very new for me as well. So that's a challenge as well, to know the materials, to learn how to.
So we can also follow this project on Instagram. So yeah, we'll definitely put up the link.
Post every day.
So you can follow her, Helena's project. Well, my last question I would like to ask you is, I know we talked about it, about the actual situation, but I want to know how did this whole pandemic situation influence your artist life, like in a positive but also maybe in a negative way?
Maybe starting with a negative thing. I think I thought I could do it. You know, when you say, okay, yeah, it's going to be a few months and then I'm going to be okay. We are going to be okay and everything is fine. But then, my family is not with me. They all live in Mexico. So I think that was one of the things that made me very frustrated because I couldn't visit or I couldn't do anything. If somebody was sick, I just couldn't. And yeah, frustration came along. And I've been trying to, keep up with news and maybe try to balance it. And maybe the positive things was to balance things that I'm concerned with and information with other things that make me happy and that I can now invest time in it. One of the things I learned was to bake because it needs time. So patience was key or is still key. Plants.
So you're part of the
yes,
bread baking totally. Society.
Yeah, plants baking, all these things that's very interesting because for me, I was very like immediate and I used to plan, but not as well as I would want to. So organizing, I think it came very handy. Now I know how to, and the schedules and my timetables are more in sync with my life. Also, I think baking and plants and things that I could do in an enclosed space taught me how to be patient. So that's that. I think it's the most valuable thing I learned, to be patient, because I'm very impatient. So
I can understand that. I also feel a lot about the situation.
Yes.
Come on, let's continue. Go faster.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have to learn to be patient and take the things how they are. You can't change them.
Yeah.
It's the actual situation. Just can make the best out of it and take a positive thing out of it. That's for sure. Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also started planting avocado trees, lemon trees. So let's see how that's going.
Yeah,
we're
I
all
hope
getting
really that after the pandemic, we still have time for that because I mean the words are not going to be the same. Maybe we can also give us time. I mean, make time for those things.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, let's see.
Things are developing. Let's talk about that in half a year.
Yeah,
review
that. Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. I'm happy that that was a positive stay with us, with our residents, and good to see that you're also continuing your stitching program. I'll definitely follow that. And thanks, Helena, and all the best for you.
All the best. And I hope you can have also great artists, great illustrators, great people in your space, and they can use it as a platform and as a, and have a good time as I did.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I think the important thing is that they also get in touch with you, artists, which are already part of Urban Art Kits. So that's also important for us, that they are in exchange and that they help. We will help them if they have certain questions about local things or also about the art world. So that's nice that you have that interchange. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I also hope that we will find the right persons. And thanks for sharing your experience with us today. Okay.
Happy to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this podcast today. We are happy to see your comments and likes. Furthermore, please check out our website. At the moment, we offer several online classes for kids. And if you're interested to apply in the Artist in Residence program, so please contact us. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this little talk, and please stay healthy and creative, and see you soon. Bye.